So what does CHENG stand for? A CHENG is a combination of chief and engineer. The CHENG roles are generally technical strong background individuals who have moved into a leadership position. And so they are guiding our technical workforce in how we execute our technical work at Crane. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of CHENG Chat and the Exploring NSWC Crane podcast. I'm your host, Lori Zipes. I'm the Command Chief Engineer at Crane. Joining me today is Mr. John Schofield, who is a CHENG in our Electronic Warfare Department, also known as Spectrum Department. So welcome, John, and thank you for joining me.
All right, Lori, I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I appreciate being volunteered by the previous
that's
CHENG.
Right. So. That's right. That's how we play this game. No, it's great to maybe great to have you here. I appreciate you coming. So let's start, as we usually do, with a little bit more about your role here at NSWC Crane and what your career path has been like.
All right. So I am the Chief Engineer in Radar Technologies Division. I'm dual-headed. I'm also a Chief Scientist for the IBAS Program Office, which is Industrial Base Analysis and Sustainment. And we're really focused in on RF microelectronics right now. So my career path, I came in 2001. I was hired in on May 14th. I graduated on May 12th. So it was a jump right in.
Wow.
No break there. And I got married June 9th, right? So all these major things happening at once. I came into the Open Systems Engineering Lab and was working in a lab doing testing. And I stayed there for several years. And then I got into open architecture and architecting systems. And from that, I started working with radar and really just enjoyed working with radar. And with that, I ended up taking a section manager job in 809 at that time. For a year and a half, I did management. And then I took a lead chief engineering position for POIWS2, working on common digital sensor architecture, looking at back-end processing of the legacy rotating radar systems. And in about 2012, I took a product support integrator lead job and headed up the solid state portfolio as a lot of the systems were transitioning to active electronically scanned arrays in solid state. Started growing the workload for SPI 6, SPI 3, SPI 4, and then about a year and a half into that, I took the chief engineering position in radar, and that is where I've been since that time.
Right. Yeah, you're one of our longest standing division chief engineers, so you've been a great asset as we work through things because you've got some good knowledge and experiences in the role. So I definitely appreciate that. So, so what do you think are some of the key successes as a CHENG? Keys to success as a CHENG.
If you look at going forward as an organization, you know, there's an old saying that says, if you want to go fast, go along. But if you want to go far, go together. And I think, you know, one of the chief engineers I work with, he has that slogan. And I look at that and I think that's so true. Sometimes we do have to go fast. But I really think if we want to go forward as an organization, we've got to pull people in, empower people, and really be on the same page for us to move forward. And so I think that's probably one of the larger keys is to make sure that we have a community of people that we're bringing along. I know that I can go fast by myself, but what will happen whenever I leave? And so I think as a CHENG, I start looking at, in my absence, can somebody come in and do my job? And I think division-wide, we've done a really good job. You know, I worked for Roger Becker for a long time. And we really put focus into career path, competency development, and engineering rigor, and risk management, and even in the business processes. And it's, you know, I no longer feel like there's one division CHENG. I actually have multiple people that I could call upon if I was to move on. And so I think that's probably one of the largest keys is going together. I think if we look at leading, is another area that I look at is how I lead. I think there's been a transition in the communities that we work in, the work environment. There was a time that you do because I told you to. And I think in today's environment, being a mentor and a coach versus someone who directs someone to do someone is probably more effective. And leading by questions. I know a gentleman outside that I'm friends with, he says he really feels that a lot of times people have the answers inside them. And if we ask enough questions, we can get to the answers. And I think it digs down deeper as we ask questions. And it also allows people to take ownership of the solution. So as you said, I've been in this position for a while, and I looked around the last Chang meetings, and I'm thinking I've been here a lot longer than most of the people sitting in the room. And I think whenever I started, it was that transition is to start realizing that I'm more of a mentor and a coach. And in those roles, a mentor will tell you what they think pretty transparently, but as a coach, we start allowing people to take ownership, leading by questions is another key.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah, I love a lot of what you said there. And I think a lot of that is very true that so going back to about your first comment, going together and collaborating, I think about that a lot, you know, from my perspective at the command level, because I see a lot of we talk about stovepipes across the different departments. And I think we are getting much better at that. And it's always hard. And Crane is a really large organization. So you can't literally all 3,800 people work together, right? But we have to find the right places to make sure that we're moving smartly and moving forward on that in ways that we collaborate better, right, across the different technologies and capabilities.
I think we used to call it ceramic cylinders of excellence. That's the...
Great.
AKA a stovepipe.
Yeah. Got it. Sir, I love that. That's awesome. And the leadership and being more of a mentor, absolutely true. I mean, it's something that I've discussed with younger employees coming up and talking about what's it like to be a Chang. And it really is this transition because it's a very, very technical role. But I jokingly say, I don't do math anymore, right? Like the technical hands-on reduces as you move up in that technical pipeline, right? And it's more about making sure that the people doing the math still, right, and the real hands-on work are doing it with really excellent quality and rigor, all the things that you mentioned, and that we are teaching them how to be critical thinkers and really have that good integrity that we're responsible for having and all of that. So yeah, it's different in that regard, but I agree with all that.
I think we also have, there's a gap. I think as we look at the workforce, we have people that there's about a 10-year gap that we see. And I think it's really critical that we invest in that generation that's coming in. And I tell you what, we have, as we set through the career competency development, just a lot of sharp people that's coming in and very technically competent. And with NICE and the opportunities to invest and let them do research and do interesting work, I think that's a really good environment to mentor and coach in.
Yeah.
Though I still like to do math. So.
I do too, right? Whenever right. I get a chance, I get all excited still. Right?
As long as my division manager will let me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely true. So good. So, you know, I was thinking, since you've been in the role for a good amount of time, when you first came into the role, were there things that you saw that you really wanted to tackle, either to change or improve? And if there were, like, how's that been going for you? Do you feel like you've made the progress you wanted to make in the role, particularly for your division?
Yeah, I think whenever I first came in, we had heroes in the division, and some of those heroes were going to retire. And so I really put an investment in the design development procedure. I took that document and I collapsed it down to something that I felt was guiding, so someone would understand what the expectations are. I think we as engineers, we solve problems and we'll go find an answer if we don't have expectations set. So setting that expectation of what does this design development look like within the division? What are the expectations? Within that, I put quite a bit of work in kind of an online repository of information and hyperlinked from the design development procedure into the folder structure. So people can say, you know, what does an interface requirement specification look like? And they could go pull the DID or look at examples. So I think setting expectations and making it go from, you know, going from tribal knowledge and heroes to other people understand expectations and really taking out the guessing game of what is expected in this. That was a major effort that I undertook when I came in to change that. Second was, you know, when Jeff Johann and Pat Schaefer and Bob Cruz were department chains, there was a focus on risk management. And we really embraced that and went from, you know, the DoD guidebook at the high level And we went from 100,000 feet to within the division, this is how we do this. And once again, is not to bind people to a particular process, but to set that expectation and to know that this is how we actually implement the guidance. And those were probably two large areas. One additional one, as I look at the growth pattern, when I started in the division, there was a division chain. There wasn't very many GS-15 positions open or GS-14s, and I didn't see that as healthy. And so I began working with Mr. Becker on that and saying, we really should look at career competency growth and to make sure that we don't have to get into management in order for people to get promotions. And so that pattern was changed. Roger was very good at having his ear open and then empowering people to go do things. And so once we set out for those type of things, he allowed those positions to come in. And I feel as an organization, as I said, is healthy in the case that even if the division chain left, I really feel there's a couple other chains that could really just come right into the position.
Yeah, no, that's really excellent. That's something that we have talked about. I have seen that shift as well over my, 30 plus year career. You know, when I was just getting started, the role that I'm in right now didn't even exist, right? So it wasn't something I could really aspire to at that time, right? And I have, as you said, seen both here at Crane and in my previous organization, far more options for technical people to have career growth up to higher levels without having to get into management. That was always the way when I first started, right? If you wanted to move up, you had to go become a manager, which a lot of engineers don't really want to. And frankly, a lot are not so great at either. That's why we're engineers, right? So that has been a nice shift to have a better career path there for folks on the technical side. And it's interesting because something else you said, I feel like it's why it helps justify having these positions and shows the value of these positions. A lot of times at the highest levels, there is guidance written about we want things to happen a certain way. And almost necessarily, they keep it a bit vague because it needs to apply in a lot of different places, right? These different warfare centers and even different SISCOMs. But somebody has to figure out, what does that mean here, right? What does that look like at Crane? And I feel like that is a big part of a lot of the jobs that we have as Changs, right? Like something higher up comes down and says, yay, verily do this. And we go, that's not enough detail for me to just say, do this, right? I have to figure out, what does that look like here at Crane? And we have a lot of discussions about that in amongst our offsites with the Changs as well. So I think that is a key part of our role. So totally agree with a lot of what you just described. That's fantastic, right? And I think it has clearly positioned us better, right? With a stronger, more capable workforce. Yeah.
Yeah, I think a good example of that is digital engineering transformation. Absolutely. We're in the middle of this, and go look at what it's supposed to look like. And there's a lot of high level guidance, but the implementation of it is not known. And so I'm talking to the CM folks about how do we do baselines? And we're going to have to come up with what does a baseline look like in a cameo model. So we definitely need the technical workforce and to bring people along and start to understand, we have high level guidance, but what are we going to do here?
Yeah. And I love like the innovative aspect of that, particularly with the digital engineering, right? Because it's literally never been done before. So it takes someone with that technical mindset and sort of the ability to see something that doesn't exist yet and figure out how do I get to this endpoint that I'm kind of seeing and just roll up the sleeves and do it, right? And it may not be perfect the first time, but we just have to go try it. Let's do the baseline this way. Let's go through a big review and see if that worked for us as we execute the review. And if we found some problems along the way, then we know we go back and we fix it. So versions of that all over is, yeah. So that's the good stuff. And that's to me, that's kind of the fun part of the job, right? Because you are still getting to do technical work and tying in the technical, but has this broader perspective on it. So John, I know you had some background working on a particular effort with regard to what was called the Radar Supplier Resilience Plan and improving the U.S. industrial base in that regard. And it struck me that there are elements of our roles as chief engineers where we really need to maintain the front edge knowledge in these particular domains that we're in. So for you, it's with radar, and you mentioned microelectronics. So what are your thoughts on how much the members of our Cheng community should be watching or even perhaps influencing these technical domains that they're in beyond just the internal work we do here at Crane?
Yeah, so I think that's another kind of mindset shift that we've had in radar is that type of leadership. So I think I look at leadership in three kind of domains. I look at it as strategic, tactical, and operational. And I really believe Radar was very operational focused. We were doing a lot of production work, a lot of sustainment engineering. But as we began to look, there's a lot of open doors for us to step in, especially with the expertise that we have. It's unique within the warfare centers, and that door is open. And I will tell you, people sitting in offices are very open for us to come in. And so as I began looking at that, the Radar Supplier Resiliency Plan was an initiative that we had a group of people step into. And here we're writing reports that are going to Congress on trying to reshape the industrial base to be ready for the wars that could potentially be out there. And so I definitely think the strategic aspects and filling key leadership positions, such as what Dr. Olson has, Dr. Hawk, you mentioned Matt Kay, and those are driving policy and large investment portfolios that are really driving the future. And so I really think changing that mindset shift and realizing that there are opportunities and that our technical folks are very well equipped to go in and educate those decisions that are being made is very powerful.
All right, well, we're almost out of time, but as we wrap up, we always have you share with our listeners a little bit about your life outside of Crane. And so if you'd like to share a little bit about what your hobbies are, I know that you're back from a really awesome trip that you just took. So if you would like to share about that, I'm sure that would be fascinating for everyone to hear about.
Yeah, so I enjoy traveling, in particular to West Africa. And so in West Africa, I've been in Tagana, and my the trip I got back from was to Sierra Leone. I don't know, I have a heart for people. I like to help people. And so when we go in, we've done water well projects and sustainable income type projects, solar panels and different things. But, it's vacation, right? But it's not really vacation. And I actually get recharged though by going in and helping people. So the last place we traveled, there's a center that stood up, and that center is training in basic skills. So sewing and cooking and driving, just to really help the people in those communities do better. And I enjoy my family going with me. So this last trip I went by myself, but I have three teenagers, and my wife, and I really like as a family being able to go in and do those types of things.
That's awesome. Really fantastic. Using their technical skills, even when you're on vacation.
That's right.
That's fantastic. Best of both worlds. Well, thanks so much for being here with me today. But you know how we wrap this up. I always allow the person who I'm interviewing to pick who's going to be our next interviewee. So do you have a suggestion?
So I've thought about this, and I'm going to recommend someone I look up to just because he's a little bit taller than me. No. But I think Dr. James Stewart would be a wonderful person to go next.
Excellent. That sounds like an excellent candidate. And I think we can arrange that. And that's going to be an extra interesting interview, but I will leave everybody hanging as to why. And so you will find out if you listen to our next Cheng Chat with Dr. James Stewart, and you'll find out how that will be a particularly interesting interview with him and myself. So thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time.